Welcome to Torah Simcha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perak Samach Hay, Chapter 65. This chapter is a continuation of the previous two. First, the focus was on Hashem's kindness, even within exile. Afterward, the Jewish people besieged Hashem to take them out and not ignore their suffering. Now Hashem responds, telling us how he has not ignored us at all. Nidrashti lelo sha'alu. I was accessible to those who did not ask. Nimtzeisi lelo vikshuni. I was available to those who did not seek me. Amarti, hineni, hineni, el goy lo kora vishmi. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call in my name. Far from allowing us to deteriorate and sin without objection, like the Jewish people lamented in the last chapter, Hashem tells us, I tried. I tried to appeal to them through prophets, but they were not interested. So I made myself available to answer their requests, but they did not seek me. I called out to them, here I am, asking them to appeal to me, but they did not want to come close to me and be called by my name. Parasti adai kol hayom el am sorer. I constantly spread out my hands to a disloyal people. Hashem only wanted us to repent, figuratively spreading out his hands to us in supplication. Haholchim haderech lo tov achar machshavoseihem. To those who walk the way that is not good, following their thoughts. There are two opposite understandings of the words, their thoughts. Malbim understands thoughts as purposeful deliberation. The Jewish people are not sinning just because they cannot stand up to their desires, but because they have chosen an evil way of life. Abravanel understands thoughts as imagination rather than logical reasoning. We can all choose to follow our intellect or our fantasy. Our intellect will tell us with certainty that the only way that makes sense is to follow Hashem. But man has a great power of fantasy that he uses to justify following his desires. And the Jews have chosen to go down that path and thus ignore Hashem's pleas to do tshuva. Ha'am ha'machi simo si al panai tamid. The people who provoke my anger continually to my face. Zovchim b'ganos u'mikatrim al ha'levinim. Sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on tiles. The prophet continues to describe that the people would try and access impure spirits and eat non-kosher food, and with all of their sinning, they would look down upon the righteous and claim that they were the ones who were truly holy. This is what brought about Hashem's anger, and in the next verses, he will describe their punishments. This is in direct distinction to the claim that the Jewish people made earlier, that it is the pain of exile itself that has caused them to sin. Hashem waited to punish us, sent us emissaries, put out his hands to receive us, and we chose to sin against him. Only then did he bring punishment. And because of that, Hashem says that he will not stand idly by and allow them to continue to sin, but he will repay their sins, each one fittingly what they deserve. And with regard to our objection to the length of galus, Hashem explains, generation after generation, we do not learn from the punishments of the last. So he has no choice but to punish those who do the same sins yet again and leave us in exile for so long. But we should not despair, because as we have been told so many times, eventually the exile will come. Why? Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, kasher yimatzei hatirosh ba'eshkol, va'amar al tashchisehu kivracha bo. Just as when wine exists in a cluster, and someone says, do not destroy it, for there is blessing in it, kein e'eseh leman avadai, levilti hishchis hakol. So too I will do for my servants, and not destroy everything. A cluster of grapes contains wine and peel and sediment. God promises that he will not discard the cluster because of the waste. Instead, he will focus on the wine that has potential for blessing. Hashem will save the righteous and discard the wicked. V'hotzesi mi'akov zera u'mi'yehuda yoresh harai. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, an heir to my mountains. V'yirashuha v'chirai v'avadai yishkanu shama. My chosen ones will inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Hashem will bring back those who deserve it back to the land eventually. In this verse, Hashem includes Jacob in those who have the potential to return to his land. This refers to the 10 tribes that will be exiled before Judah and will not be brought back for the second temple. When the final redemption comes, according to this verse, some of them will return as well. And all parts of the land, even those that were formerly barren, will be ideal dwelling places to accommodate all that will return. But it will not be everyone. Va'atem ozvei Hashem hashchechim es har kodshi. But you, those who leave Hashem and forget my holy mountain, The next verse I'm going to translate in two ways, as two alternate readings, both of which reflect what will prohibit some from meriting redemption. Those who set a table and fill libations for idols, or those who set a table for groups of people and fill a mixing bowls for crowds, those who live a life of frivolousness and merrymaking, either those who dedicate their lives to idol worship or who dedicate their lives to materialism and this worldly endeavors. Either way, your end will be, Umanisi eschem lacherev, v'cholchem l'tevach tichra'u. I will destine you for the sword, and you will slump in slaughter. Ya'an karasi v'lo anisem. Because I called to you, and you did not answer. Dibarti v'lo shematem. I spoke, and you did not hear. V'ta'asu hara be'inai, uva'asher lo chafasti v'chartem. And you did what was evil in my eyes, and that which I did not want, you chose. Hashem emphasizes that he gave the wicked every opportunity, and they chose everything but him. Here begins a theme of missed opportunity that will continue throughout the rest of the chapter. Lachen ko amar Hashem Elokim, hinei avadai yochelu va'atem tiravu. Thus says Hashem, my servants will eat, and you will hunger. Hinei avadai yishtu va'atem titzma'u. My servants will drink, and you will thirst. Hinei avadai yismachu va'atem tivoshu. My servants will rejoice, and you will be shamed. Here we see an irony, according to those who understood verse 11, as being an admonition against materialism and frivolousness. Those who dedicated their lives to drinking and eating now will starve in the future, and those who dedicated their lives to Hashem will be satiated. Rav Dessler, in his essay on Rosh Hashanah in Michtav Mi'Eliyahu, explains that a person stays the same after the redemption and even into the next world. It is the reality that changes. If a person refined himself, he will be able to enjoy the spiritual richness and satisfaction of a world of truth. If he focuses on the material and nothing more, he will be hungry and frustrated in a world that is elevated and spiritual. My servants will shout out from gladness, and you will scream from pain. And you will howl from a brokenness of spirit. Besides for the actual pain that the wicked will feel, the brokenness of spirit will be their main source of anguish. This refers to their recognition that it is too late for them to change and earn salvation. In these two verses, the juxtaposition of the reward of the righteous and the punishment of the wicked reveals that the wicked will watch and suffer the eternal frustration of knowing that they could have been in the position of those enjoying eternity, but they squandered that opportunity. According to many, this will be their main source of grief. But the righteous will know no more sorrow, because the land will be a land of only truth and perception of Hashem, and the pain of the past will be remembered no more. Kim sisu v'gilu ade'ad asher ani vorei. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. Ki hineni vorei es Yerushalayim gila v'ama masos. For I shall create Jerusalem as a joy, and her people as a delight. Those who merit to see the redemption will live with only happiness and joy. V'galtiv Yerushalayim v'sasti v'ami, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in her people. V'lo yishama ba'od kol b'chi v'kol za'aka, and never again will be heard there the sounds of weeping and wailing. People will live out their days and will enjoy the fruits of their labor. People will live so long they will enjoy full use of long-living trees and houses that they built. Lo yivnu v'acher yeshev, they will not build for others to dwell in it. Lo yitu v'acher yochel, or plant for others to eat. Ki chimei ha'etz yimei ami, u'ma'asei yedehem yivalu v'chirai. For the days of my people will be as long as the days of a tree, and my chosen ones shall outlive the work of their hands. Lo yigu larik v'lo yeldu labehala. They will not toil for no purpose, and they will not produce for futility. Ki zera bruchei Hashem hema v'tze'etzayim itam. Because there are my blessed offspring, and their offspring will remain with them. Before they pray, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will respond. In the last chapter, and in many chapters before, the Jewish people complained that Hashem did not listen to their prayers. Hashem responded at the beginning of this chapter that he begged them to pray, but they did not. Finally, now they will pray, and Hashem will answer them right away. He will even answer them before they begin, when they are only preparing to do so, because even just the preparation for prayer shows that that is what they want. They recognize from where everything comes, and they want to speak to Hashem. Ze'ev v'tale yiruka echad. The wolf and the lamb will graze together. Ve'aryeh kabakar yochel tevin. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. V'nachash afar lachmo. And the snake's food will be earth. He will no longer hunt other animals. Lo yareu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi, amar Hashem. There will not be harm nor destruction in all my holy mountain. The Rambam, Maimonides, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, have famously differing opinions on this verse. The Ramban, Nachmanides, explains it literally, that the nature of animals will change and none will be carnivorous anymore. The very nature of the animals will change in order to reflect the world around them. Maimonides explains this allegorically, that the animals here refer to the Jewish people and the nations of the world who could not live together peacefully before. Now Israel, symbolized by nonviolent animals, will live peacefully alongside the nations, symbolized by those that are usually violent. Until this point, they have always been antagonistic to her, but now they will live together in peace. Whether this verse is interpreted as allegorical or literal, the message is the same, and that is that Hashem's land, the land of Israel, will be a blissful place in which there is no harm nor destruction at all. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.